Ho ho ho, cheeky monkeys.
Toppy, toppy.
It's Bergkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ennis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
We're gone. Bye bye.
Hello and welcome to ABW Live, the final one of the season. Yeah, we're here, we're back, and it seems like same as the back end of the season, we are annoyed. Apologies to all of you in the chat box for Ellis Mel. He knows what he said. He's been chastised already. Okay, leave it there. It's unbelievable. Before we get into it, a massive shout out to Yvonne Okafor, who's been a little unwell recently and she's been in hospital. So we are all thinking of you, Yvonne. You're an absolute superstar. We miss you in the chat box. Hope you're okay. I feel a rant coming on. Feel a fucking rant coming on. Okay, but not just yet. After that bag of wank they've served up, okay. Never mind. I'm joined by the one and only, the idiot who upsets the chat box. As soon as he gets in there, it's unbelievable. Instead of saving lives in Norwich, no, he's upsetting the chat box. It's Ellis Mel. How are you, Ellis?
My throat's a bit sore. I don't know if I can do the rest of this podcast. Sorry.
No, I'm only joking. I'm absolutely regretting what I said in the chat box. I am very sorry, everyone.
Good man.
Who I did upset.
You apologise them properly. You know, you make sure.
I have. Very sorry. Won't happen again.
Good man. massive shout out to Jonas Segtnanberg, who's just donated, I don't know how many Norwegian kroner that is, and he just says to Yvonne, Jonas, you're a top, top, top man. My other guest tonight, well, you know, if he's not by my side, I feel a little bit lonely. It's John Welsh. Say hello, John.
Hello, John.
I know.
It's not the joy wasn't there, no. But you know what? It's the last one of the season, so I still had to do it. They didn't deserve it tonight. Arsenal didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve that hello, John. But I'm doing it for the listeners, and I'm doing it for you, Jace.
Mate. Oh, mate. I tell you what, okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Payesh Kapoor, that question will be asked at the end of the show, because I got a lot to fucking say on that. I can fucking tell you. Right, let's get straight into the game, guys. John, I'm coming to you first, the usual. Let's talk lineups. Leave Mkhitaryan out of it. I'm going to come back to that after you discuss the lineup.
I was pleased it was the back three, wing backs. I thought that was fine. It was the three centre backs. I probably would have gone with it was a toss-up between Monreal and Mustafi for me. I think they're much of a muchness in the way they're performing at the moment. I like that he stuck with Czech. I didn't have a problem with that. I know some people did, but I thought that was fine. Midfield, I thought it was our two best centre mids who were available. He started with Ozil, which was brave. I was a little bit surprised by. But two up front, going for it. Look, we know that we're defensively not the best team in the world. So it's a final. You just got to go for it and try and score goals. It was a positive looking lineup for me, considering what our options were, who was available. I don't think I would have done much different.
Yeah, no, I got to be honest with you. I didn't have any complaints about the lineup initially. Guna 1982, you can drop the C-bomb, bro. Go nuts. Go nuts. Let it all out. It is allowed tonight. Quick shout out. Massive shout out. First of all, J Rob, as usual, just donating like hell there. And he says, I'm just so mad. Let the young players play next season and get rid of the shite. Same old Arsenal. I don't even know what else to say. Oh, he says, Yvonne, get well. I tell you, we've got a classy bunch and I love it. Chat box, you make me feel better. Daryl Kale, Daryl Kane piles in with a donation and he says, no chubbing tonight. Love you, mofos. We love you too, Daryl. You're top, top man. L. No Mkhitaryan, there's a lot been made of it this week, but we knew when we played Karabag that he couldn't go out there. We knew where the final was. Why weren't the club making more of a fuss back then? We knew where the final was going to be, and we knew we were one of the strongest teams in it. So why wait until we get there to make a point on it?
I don't really know. Maybe a bit of mismanagement there. Maybe because it was Mkhitaryan, would the club made more of a fuss if it was someone like Lacazette or Aubameyang? I don't know. I think really realistically, all the sort of furrow for where it is and what's been going on and all the issues with Baku, the most noise has come from now, once we've got to the final, once it's there. When realistically, like you say, not even one... when we played Karabag, we knew where the final was going to be. Not necessarily knew we were going to make it. No one knows if they're going to make the final, but you'd expect us to be there or thereabouts with the team or the strength of the teams in the Europa League. And it just seems like poor management. But realistically, what are the club going to do? Like I heard people or seen people on Twitter saying that we should have boycotted the final, but it's our only real option to get into the Champions League. Are Arsenal really going to do that at the risk of upsetting Europa? I don't know. It's farcical that the final was there, to be honest. Like looking at how hard it was for people to get there. And again, if you're an Arsenal fan, you've gone all that way for that shit show. You've got to be good. So I'm sorry for the guys out there who've gone and made all that travel and spent all that money to go out there and get that fucking performance. It's not really great, is it? But yeah, in the answer to the question, I haven't got a fucking clue why Arsenal haven't kicked up more of a fuss.
This is the thing, John. You know, I mean, you know, a player's been stopped from taking part in a competition because of political tensions. We see it all the time from UEFA, the Premier League. You know, we had a banana thrown this season at Aubameyang. Oh, you know, it actually wasn't a racist thing. He just threw the first thing that came to hand. Like you take a fucking banana to a football match. Well, you know, most people don't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we see racist things happening all the time. And, you know, none of the clubs do anything about it. We kind of got what we deserved on the Mkhitaryan front, in my opinion. What's yours?
It's a weird one. I think if we don't get to the final, none of us care, to be perfectly honest. And that's the way football fans work, and that's their mentality. Maybe that's something we should look at more, you know, in the future, not just us as a club, but football in general. But everyone knew the final was going to be there, so this problem was already there. It's one of those weird things where, like, I don't know enough about what the issue is between Armenians and the Azerbaijanis. You know, I don't know the history of it. I don't know what it is. It could be a cultural thing. It might be some war thing going back. It might be a, you know, economic thing. I've got no idea. So I can't exactly comment on what the reasons are for it. That being said, can you then host a final in a place that won't allow certain people? Well, unfortunately, you can, because it's already picked. And it's going to be one of those things. Not trying to qualify it or make it right or say it's right, but if you had a final in, you know, the place is already picked, wherever it is, let's say it's somewhere in like, for example, Ukraine, and then halfway through the tournament or a few weeks before, you know, some sort of war or proxy war breaks out between Ukraine and another country, and a player in your team happens to be from that country, they may no longer be welcome. You can't... you know, you can't work out exactly those sort of things going to happen. This one we had more time to, but Data KLBC made a really good point. It's bad PR to bring it up unless you know you're getting to the final, because let's be honest, no other club is going to pipe up about it, because you don't want to piss off UEFA, because that's money. You can't take the money away from it. Do I think ultimately Mkhitaryan being available would have made a difference? If I'm honest, no, not really. It doesn't change the fact he should have been available to play, of course, yeah. But then you're getting into politics and everything else.
It's affected the player. We knew about it before. There's no point us, you know, mourning strongly about it now and sending letters when we've known about it all season.
No,
that's not my point.
And no other club has complained. And yes, all right, maybe no other club has got an Armenian player, so they don't have that, you know, have that issue. And I don't think. And just to clarify for people in the chat box or anyone listening later, we're not saying that Mkhitaryan would have made a difference in the game. It's just a talking point around the game. And I know obviously other people have spoken about it, which is something we did want to touch on. But yeah, it's a stupid thing. It shouldn't happen. Hopefully these kind of things don't happen ever again, regardless of whether it's Arsenal or another football club. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Then. I just, you know, the point for me was only about, you know, we knew about this earlier on in the season. To think of it now, it just annoys me. Al, you saw an early long ball from Pedro, Cech coming out and stopping it. For me, the first 5 minutes, Chelsea seemed to start brighter than us. We seemed sluggish. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we did seem a bit sluggish. I think it was more sort of nerves, because going into the game, it's abundantly clear to anyone who knows football that this particular match is more important to Arsenal is Chelsea. I know they're both going for a trophy, but Chelsea have already secured Champions League. And I think if we're all honest, the Europa League trophy doesn't mean much to us other than that it gets us access to the Champions League, which is where we want to be as a club. We want to be that club in that competition. And because of what it brings the ability to attract better players and it gives you more money to try and buy those players. And I think maybe the pressure got a bit to the team. I think at the start, I think both were a bit more tentative on the ball. We didn't really seem to commit two men forward. We weren't really sort of tipping around. I think we were being a bit cautious. And I think potentially Emery as a manager does set us up like that on occasion when we shouldn't be so cautious, when we need to be a bit bolder and go for it, because against other teams, we know that we can do better. We know we can attack and we can strong. But I think at the start of the game, we were just, I think the players were just a bit affected by the importance of the game. But having said that, like you said, they started brightly for 5 minutes, but I thought for spells of the first half, certainly we looked like the better team. Yeah, possession.
We'll come to that now, pal. Unique 79 smashes in with a donation. Cheers to Unique, a star. Thank you ever so much, pal. And he says, refund every single one of our fans. Not unreasonable after that crap, is it? Let's be fair. John, we then start to grow into the game. You see some lovely play from AMN. You see a wonderful ball from Xhaka to Kolasinac, which we get a corner from. As Ellis alluded to, you know, we started to come into the game and we started to play some good stuff, but we kind of lacked a cutting edge, didn't we?
Yeah, I was impressed because it was a little bit of a slow start and I thought, oh, okay, maybe we're going to sit deep and try and play on the counter and just like leave the three guys up there and sort of and just use them to hit on the break. But yeah, we started to get on the ball. We started to dominate possession a bit. We were passing it nicely. We were getting good width, you know, which is... we've struggled to create lately, but when we have, it's always been from those wide areas. But it was a case of, you know, Maitland-Niles was getting forwards really well, but his final ball either wasn't quite good enough, or it was a little bit under hit or over hit, or the strikers weren't reacting fast enough. The ball you just talked about from Xhaka, you know, inside the centre half and the fullback of Chelsea for Kolasinac to run onto, brilliant. But instead of Kolasinac hitting it first time, look, maybe he should have done, he takes a touch. And then we get a corner. Yeah, okay, we put some good corners in as well. It was all nearly stuff. It was all, you know, not quite there. The little bit, you know, we either didn't get the little bit of luck and the ball didn't quite break for one of our players, or we didn't quite have the last push. The disappointing thing for me from that spell where we were playing well was that when the ball was going into the box, it was invariably from either Lacazette or Aubameyang quite a lot of the time as well, which meant there was only ever one guy in the box. Ozil wasn't really busting a gut to get in there. And often the only other player who would be getting in would either be Kolasinac from, if it's coming in from the right, you know, or Maitland-Niles coming in at the back stick if he's whipping in from the left. And that's fine. That's their job to get forward and do that. But there was, you know, Ozil should be trying to get into the box. And if it's not him, then, you know, one of Xhaka or Torreira's got to burst past him to try and link up the play and put that extra man in there. Because you're not going to get, as good as our strikers have been all this season, and they've been great, don't get me wrong, you know, their goal return has been fantastic. There's going to be a real struggle to win a ball when you're playing against Luiz and Anders Christensen, and you're the only guy in there trying to attack that ball, you know, and they've got fullbacks tacking in and, you know, Jorginho's dropping in Kante. It's really, really difficult to get on the end of anything then.
We were impotent, let's be fair. Okay, we were impotent. You know, we were falling over the ball more than we were connecting with the ball at times. And as you say, when your main strikers are the ones delivering the final ball into the box and there's nobody busting a gut to get in, well, you know, it just kind of sums it up, it does, really. Mm. Ellis, there's a penalty shout. Kepa on Lacazette. He pulls back his hands. He clearly catches him with his head. Christiansen had hands all over him, grabbing his shirt. It goes to VAR, and there's no penalty. I'm a bit bemused by that. I really am. I know Lacazette makes the most of it, but your thoughts?
Yeah, at first, like, I didn't actually hear with the commentary if it had gone to VAR, and I was confused to think that maybe it wasn't even in the competition, because I thought that was definitely something that would have to be reviewed by VAR. There wasn't really much commotion about it. The referee seemed pretty clear that it wasn't a penalty for him, but like you say, for me, that's a penalty all day long. I've seen them given in so many matches that I've watched across the many years of football I have watched, and it, like you say, it's not a massive amount of contact, but his head hits him. Kepa's not got the ball at all. His head has hit him, and part of his hand has hit Lacazette. He's gone down. For me, that's a penalty. There's contact in the box, and he's not made any contact with the ball. So it's a penalty all day long. And it just surprised me that it didn't even go to VAR. I don't know. Did you hear anything in the commentary that they said they had looked at it?
They said it's gone to beat VAR. And VAR have come back with a decision which backs up the referee's decision. That's what it says.
They only review, they only review on VAR if it's a clear and obvious error by the referee, which they judged it not to be.
So did they not like literally look at it at all then? Like,
so no, what they do is they will look at it and they will then look at the referee's position and everything else and will say, if it's a clear and obvious error that the referee has missed it, then they will call it back to VAR and then they will say, right, you need to review this again. But that's what they said. They said the referee had a clear view, you know.
But yeah. Your thoughts on it, mate, you know, because I made the most of it.
And the thing is, I don't think he did. I don't think he made enough of it. I think if he makes more of it, we get a penalty. I think if he makes more of it, we get a penalty. If that happens to us, though, and I see, like, in regular time, I'm like, bang, penalty straight away. That was my immediate, that's a penalty. You see the replay back, and I think Kepa pulls his hands away. He does try and pull out of it. His head catches him, there's not a lot you can do about that because you can't take your head off your body. I mean, you could do. He's a Chelsea player, you know. He's about 12 as well, didn't he? So young. But the thing is, the way we always try and judge these on here is, if that's given against us, would we complain? I'd complain about that. I'd be like, nah, he's bought that one. The referee, you know, the goalkeeper's tried to pull out of it. It's a 50-50. I think it can go either way. It's annoying because it's early in the game, and it's like, if we get that, then maybe we get the first goal, and then the game and the flow of it's all different and everything. The issue is that you look at the rest of the game and how we played and everything in the performance and you go, well, did we really deserve anything out of it? But that one moment obviously can change the whole pattern of the game. So I don't want to dwell on it too much. You know what I mean? But I think it's one of those, it can go either ways, but I think if it's against us, I'm not getting that.
I think we lose this game either way, whether we get that penalty or not, judging from the second half performance. I know you can probably go on like, if we get that goal, does it change the momentum? I think what it does show, it shows that VAR isn't going to solve everything. Whether there's still...
No, because it's still a human looking at the video.
Yeah, exactly. You're still going to get human error. They do get in a bit more slower time, so it helps the referee see what the viewers see at home.
Yeah, knock the percentage in the right direction. That's a good thing. Yeah. To be fair, though, I actually thought that the referee had a pretty decent game. I don't think he really did much wrong. To be honest, a couple of things he did get wrong, I thought, was a few times when he could have booked Arsenal players and he didn't.
We don't talk about those times, though.
Oh, yeah, we'll completely ignore those ones.
Yeah, we're one-eyed bastards, yes. So let's keep it that way, please. Al, I'm coming back to you on this. You get a really good cross from Kante. Giroud just can't quite control it. Got a little bit lucky at that point, didn't we? You could see they were starting to win. They were starting to come back into the game. at that point, and they were having as many kind of clear cut chances as we were, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, for all our sort of possession and chances we created in the first half, they didn't really create as much as us, but what they did create seemed a bit more clear cut. I didn't think we really worked Kepa that hard in the first half for the chances that we did have and the possession we had, but you could definitely see it towards the end of that half. Chelsea started to come into it, but more they looked a bit more dangerous. They forced a few good saves out of check, and they were starting to get space in between our defence and finding that space. And I felt sort of with Giroud as that linchpin, what Chelsea had, which we didn't have, is an outlet. They could kick the ball up there and Giroud could win it and lay it off to Pedro and Hazard. Whereas when we sort of tried that, I can't remember if it was in the first half or the second, but there was a long ball that Cech tried and you could just see Aubameyang was never going to win it. He eventually did semi-win it, but at the cost of a foul on the Chelsea defender. And it gave them more of an outlet than we had. I don't think we lost the game from it, but you could see that Giroud was going to be that sort of linchpin, that outlet to get there, to get the other players on the ball. And we missed that. And it was, like you say, we had a bit of momentum in the first half and we started to lose it towards the second half, the end of the first half, and it definitely carried over and Chelsea momentum at the start of the first. I can't remember what half. Second half. There we go. Spit it out eventually.
Okay, I'm not confused at all. Richard Morris has just smashed in the donation and he says, crowdfund collection to buy out Ozil's contract. Start with this donation. It's worth a try. Got to be honest with you, Richard. I kind of concur at the moment, getting more and more annoyed with that man every time he plays. Or he plays, what was it, what's the game the kids are playing?
Fortnite.
Yeah. When he plays Fortnite live during our last game of the season. Well done, Mezit.
How old did you sound then? What's the game those kids are playing nowadays?
I thought Jay spent some like game on the playground or something. So
that's what Az was playing. He weren't playing the football game at all. He was off playing like his catch, stuck in the mud or something with someone.
Hopscotch or bulldogs.
Yeah.
you see a good Alba break. Well defended. Then you see Xhaka with an absolute cannon on his right foot.
Yeah.
Skip over the bar. You know, we were not capitalising on our chances at all, were we?
No. Seeing Xhaka hit the ball with his right foot was a weird one. I've watched him for many years, and it's weird to see him hit the ball more than 2 yards with his right foot normally. Again, it was all very nearly, you know, the idea looked solid and we were using Aubameyang's pace and he was picking on, you know, he was getting in behind Emerson a lot down that side, you know, and he was trying to get at David Luiz, who I thought in the first half he really had the beating of, and he spun him a couple of times. But either his pass, like back to Lacazette, wasn't quite there, or Lacazette would get the ball and spin and try and lay in Aubameyang, and like he couldn't quite bring it under control. It just weren't clicking for the pair of them for the evening. And Ozil he really wasn't in it, to be honest.
We'll come to him at the end of the game because I've just about hard enough. The magnificent international man of mystery, Blair Slater, piles in with a big donation and he ain't got anything to say today. Slater's not happy. If Slater's not happy, I'm not happy. And now he's just coming with Slater out. Oh, I know, Blair. I know. I'm not happy. Cheers, bro. You're an absolute rock star. Thank you very much. We see the Chavs break. Socrates blocks it. Kolasinac's shot. Sort of deflected over the bar for a good break. Socrates head over from a corner. It was all possession and no penetration, wasn't it?
Yeah, certainly. It certainly wasn't. It's something that has been typical of this Arsenal team for a while now. And it's just, we just couldn't really seem to grab this game by the scruff of the neck. There was a lot of chances from that left-hand side, certainly, with Kolasinac. He seemed to get into a bit of space there. There was times when Xhaka would pick him out, when Ozil would pick him out. And I just didn't think his delivery was good enough on most occasions. He rarely ever beat sort of the Chelsea defender or whoever he was trying to aim for. There'd always seem to be a Chelsea defender clearing it away. And to be honest, those Chelsea defenders, they did a good job there throwing their bodies in the line. They were trying to block everything. And Socrates did it for us as well. But we just, it was a bit too little too late, or just wasn't quite enough for the chances that we'd given them. Again, the Socrates header probably could have done better. But I think if it was a free header, then he definitely could have done better. He did have a couple of Chelsea players around him who were trying to get the ball as well. So you can sort of semi-lit him off. It was, again, it was just flaccid possession. If that's a way of describing it, we had the ball, but we weren't really doing much with it. And at 0-0 at halftime, you think, all right, we'll try and build on this, try and turn that into actually into goals, but it wasn't to be.
No. John, you then see Cech save, make a good save from Emerson, and then he makes a huge save from Olivier Giroud. And there was some beautiful link-up play from Chelsea in the build-up of that shot. But they were two massive saves, weren't they?
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons why I had absolutely no issue with checking goal tonight. I know he's coming for some stick, but look, he's the whole, oh, he's going to throw it in the back of the net because he's playing against Chelsea. Cech is like peak professional, would never do anything like that. The fact that people even thought that or even joked about it is ridiculous, to be honest. He's a great goalkeeper. He's had a fantastic career. I think he's been good since he's been at Arsenal. I don't think he's been as good as he was in his Chelsea days. I mean, that's fair enough to say, and he'd probably agree with that.
He's had a better defence in front of
him. He had a much better defence and a much better midfield in front of him when he was at Chelsea, though, which is fair to say. So he had a slightly easier job, if you like. But I thought sticking with him was a nice little farewell. It's, you know, last game for him, and he's had a cracking career. I know he played a lot of it at Chelsea, but still, he's a very good footballer and a really likeable man. But, you know, it's not just the saves he made tonight. It's a couple of times when he had to come out and command his box. He's one of the very, very few players, I could probably count three in total, who can leave that pitch tonight with an Arsenal shirt on and say they actually went out there and did something. Because not a lot did, to be honest. And I don't think he put a foot wrong.
Oh, fair comment. Jackosaurus piles in the donation, says, lads, I'm sad at the Arsenal. You're not alone, Jackosaurus. You're not alone. Then Adam Horn. I haven't seen Adam in the chat box before. Welcome, Adam. Hope you're okay, pal. I know it's a shit night, but c'est la vie. He piles in the donation as well. Thank you ever so much. You're rock stars. Yeah, we'll come to check as well. I think he's coming with some unfair criticism. I really do. I think if you look at the Keystone Cops defending in front of him tonight, in the second half, you know, it beggars belief. It beggars belief. That's the first half. That's the first half. So you know what time it's coming. It's been a long season, people. It's been a long, long season. There's 304 of you in this chat box at the moment, and I got 52 likes. What the fuck is going on here? Do you genuinely believe you're allowed to be like Mesut Ozil and fucking tramp about the pitch, not take any responsibility, take your wage packet and fuck off to play Fortnite just when it suits you and not put anything into it? Really? Do you really think that? Come on. Tappy fucking tappy. Let's get going. Your parents right about now are having to think about whether to deny they're your parents. You know, they're going to disinherit you. They're going to say, do you know what? No, they can't be asked to bloody tap that like button for that daft Welsh idiot. So why should we give him all the money when they're dead? You know, why? Why? Why should they? Why should they? Oh, seriously, you know. Do you think you're allowed to defend like the Arsenal? Do you? There's no defence for not tapping that like button. I expect 150 right about now, okay? Because we've got to put up with this shit for a lot. We've had to put up with this shit for weeks now, right? Weeks we've had to put up with crap performances. Come on, yeah, put a bit of a smile on and go, woo-hoo-hoo! It's fucking tough, guys. It's tough at the sharp end. Arsenio Wonga, you were the length like, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Okay. Brandon Jason Grosso, says, please stop asking us to tappy tappy in these difficult times. Well, Brandon, Jason Grosso, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. So let's start tapping that like button. I'm not at 100 yet. I'm not. And I'm not happy. So let's get going. Thank you very much. Tappy fucking tappy. Oh, God. On to the second half then, boys, is it?
Yeah, if we must. That's probably the best tappy-tappy that we've had all season. So regardless of what Arsenal are doing, you've obviously upped your game, Jason.
The worse we play, the better it gets, funny enough. oh, God knows. God knows.
I've got some comedy betting odds to give you when we finish the game, Jason, because I'm sure a question related to it will come up. So I'll save that one. Little teaser.
Okay, right. Well, I like a bit of a tease. I do like a little bit of a challenge. Let's get going. Loki 73 is debating whether Ozil don't even play every fortnight, for fuck's sakes. Jesus. I love this chat box.
If he plays Fortnite like he plays football, all he does is just stand there. You probably don't see him.
That's what he did tonight. Second half kicks off again. Early Aubameyang break. Then you get Giroud fight. Shot deflected. Monreal puts a check on Hazard. Two teams really seemed to come out of it, didn't they?
Yeah. Chelsea's come out pretty much where they left off from the end of the first half. I think that they had a bit of the momentum. And I don't know what happened in the dressing room with Unai Emery in the squad, but he obviously sort of tried to kick him up the bum a bit and get us going. And it was end-to-end stuff. And it was sort of poised, really, to see who was going to get the first goal, make the first real chance. And I think at the time it felt like whoever was going to make that first goal would probably be the ones that would go on and take the game by the scruff of the neck and go on and win it. And as we'll come on to talk about in a second, that was the way it turned out. The first team to get that goal was the one that went on to dominate, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll get to that right about now. But before that, there's a gentleman in the chat box called Ed Loud. And if you've listened to the mental health specials we've done recently, Ed's name is mentioned very heavily in the follow-up version because he pushed his granddad in a wheelchair the whole 12 miles from Palace to the Emirates. And I got a massive amount of admiration for Ed. Paul, the Crystal Palace fan who organised the walk, couldn't speak highly enough of Ed. So, chat box, this is your time to shine. With a few more taps, please. And a massive shout out to Ed Loud. He deserves a huge round of applause, chat box. So give him some love right now, please. Go to it. Do your shit, chat box. Give this man the respect he deserves. Go. Maybe you've got a couple of seconds to sink in. And then, John, I'll be coming to you. And you know what I'm coming to you with.
Oh, hang on. Isn't Ed the one who didn't want any recognition? Or that's all Jace. Sorry,
Ed, you may be modest. I couldn't give a monkey's fella. You're getting some love.
Oh, the chat box has gone absolutely mad for you, Ed. You're making him blush.
Chat box, I absolutely fucking love you. And that's no, absolutely no. I'm not making that up. You are superb. John, Giroud scores. And my only note is we couldn't defend Mother Teresa's honour.
in that particular instance, I would say Lauren Koscielny couldn't defend Mother Teresa's honour. I mean, look, they pass it around the box and we don't close them down. Goes out to, I think it's Emerson. Maitland-Niles does the right thing, goes to close him down. We're quite narrow at that point. Who is it who's tracking? Socrates does the right thing, goes across with Pedro, who's running in behind Maitland-Niles. So everything's all fine. At this point, Koscielny knows exactly where Giroud is. Drew takes one little step one way, then the other, and that's it. He just slips up. It's simple, really easy forward play. It's not the greatest ball in the box ever. It's a really, really good finish from Giroud. It's difficult. He has to stoop down. It's a great goal from him. But it's really poor defending from Koscielny, a player who, you know, should know the player better, certainly, and know what he's capable of. But also, let's be honest, has been really good this season for us, in a season where I don't think anyone expected him to be. But it's another final where he's cocked up and he's made a mistake. And individual errors, don't be wrong, there are errors leading up to the goal again. It is a collective thing and a team thing. But the big one, the big standout one, is Koscielny's error, and he just completely let Giroud go. Doesn't take away from Giroud's goal. It's a great finish, but you've got to stay with your man. The moment he sees the back of Giroud's shirt, that's it, he's done. It's just let him get goal side. It's so easy.
Every big game. And it's a shame because Koz has been magnificent at the back end of the season. He's done things I didn't think it were possible for him to do.
Yeah, but really has.
Again, when it matters, when there's a trophy on the line, you know, he cost us getting to the final last season and he cost us the first goal. It's not his fault we lost. Let's be very honest. Some Keystone Cops defending coming up a bit later where, you know, well, we'll go through that in a bit. But again, he just, you know, I just couldn't believe it. Elle, your view on it, please. Ellis?
Sorry, I misclicked the mute button and didn't unmute. Very sorry.
You set the chat box early doors and now you've got mute.
Well, my performance is only equal. Well, it's not that bad. It's not as equal to Arsenal's performance, but I won't let it get that bad, honest. It sort of sucked the energy out of me, that goal, when it went in, as it did. And Emerson was just in a lot of space, poor defending. And again, I don't want to lambast Koscielny too much, but he just lets Giroud go. And it's still a difficult finish, don't get me wrong, but if Koscielny knows anyone, he knows how good Giroud is in that sort of area of those little flick finishes, one-touch finishes, good with his head, good running to the box and picking out a goal. Like, he scored 11 goals. I think he's got the boot for the Europa League. He scored 11 goals in the Europa League for Chelsea. He's a dangerous player in this competition. He's a dangerous player in any competition in those positions. And Koscielny just left him and he got round and he made the head and it was a good goal. And there's nothing Cech could have really done about that. It was a great goal from Giroud. And the defending was poor, and it's frustrating. And again, Koscielny, he let us down again against Atletico Madrid in the semis last season. He's let us down previously before. And like you say, I shouldn't lambast him too much because he's not the sole problem in the squad. He's one of the best defenders out of a bad bunch, realistically. Yes, he's got an error in him, but all of our defenders have. And To think he'd still be here and be the best defender in our squad when he had that injury last year is madness, really. But yeah, it's frustrating. And best we move on before I get any more upset.
Petito 100 has smashed in a donation. Petito, thank you ever so much. We will ask your question at the back end of the pod, mate. But I think it's a great question. Thank you, Petito. I really appreciate that. Solid support of this podcast. And we just think the world of you. Thank you. John, you get Torreira shot blocked. It's called offside. But you saw Christiansen stop Auba go for the overhead by throwing himself into a header. And the difference in defending from Chelsea to us was marked, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think our defenders lacked commitment in terms of throwing their bodies in the way. But I think the difference
was the organisation side of it.
Yeah, it's the organisation and their original positioning and that kind of thing. That's what they lacked. And look, we've said it all season. The defence has got issues and it needs work on it. And the problem is that our midfield, a lot of the time, allows the opposition teams to get at our back line too easily. And it, again, was the case tonight. I don't think Torreira had a particularly good game, and I don't think Xhaka did either. Our midfield was kind of just ignored. And when they can get the ball out wide to players like Pedro, to like Hazard, who can run at you and cause you serious problems, it's going to make any, you know, defence make mistakes and make errors. But if you're not getting that screen in front of you, it's going to make your game, you know, the game even 10 times harder. The difference between the two teams was Chelsea had their system, had their discipline, had their shape, kept it all game. Arsenal had their system and the shape they're supposed to play, but individuals within that system don't work and weren't doing their jobs properly.
I think the big difference for me was, you know, you said for the Giroud goal that Socrates had followed his man as they were, as he should have. But if you look at the gap between Sock and Koscielny on that first goal, they're miles apart. Do you know what I mean? They're not defending as a pair. Yet you watched Christiansen and Sideshow Bob, and they were always within a few feet of each other.
Yeah, but then obviously that's the difference between playing four at the back to three at the back, and obviously three centre-backs you're going to have slightly wider. But they're more disciplined. They know that shape. They know the formation. They play it all the time. They know how to do it. They've played together a lot. Our players, you know, most of that back three has played together a lot. But I don't think Socrates is best necessarily in a back three. I don't think Koscielny is either. I don't think Monreal is necessarily weird. I mean, he's not a centre-back, obviously. And he got caught out quite a few times. And I don't think that system now suits him anymore. I think he's just simply, you can only play at left-back and anything else, because I don't think he's got the legs to do that sort of third, you know, wide centre-back role. And there's too many times there are gaps and they're not closing the spaces between them quick enough. But again, it does also involve, you do need the midfield in front of you to help you out if you've already got those problems. And to be honest, they were not being screened at all.
We're going to come to that now. Ellis, we then get the Pedro goal, okay? Now, the one thing that really annoys me about this goal, I want you to talk about it afterwards, but I want you to elaborate on this point, please. You see AMN pick the ball out of defence, turns the ball over, he drives out of defence, okay? There are Chelsea players pressing hard. There's no out ball. There's nobody showing for him. He's got nobody to play the ball to, so he has to keep hold of it. Then they turn it over and talk me through it. But I want you to talk me through the goal and, you know, why isn't there anybody showing for him? Because it wasn't the last time it was going to happen and it wasn't the first time it happened.
No, so I'll talk through that goal first and then I'll go on to the not showing thing. I think I get really confused with Chelsea players. You've got like Kovacic, Hazard and Giroud have all got the same bloody haircut, like short back and size. So I literally can't, when I'm watching for a distance, I can't pick out who's who. When Giroud's a lot bigger than the other two.
When Kovacic Hazard picks the ball up, Kovacic was wide quite a lot as well, wasn't he? And I figured it was Hazard as well because the camera angle was so wide out at times.
Yeah. That's confusing as fuck. But anyway, I think it's him. He like spins around the ball. He's got a couple of Arsenal players that can't win the ball off him. He then plays it to Hazard or Kovacic or whoever they are. And then they pick out Pedro, who's an acres of space in the box. There's not a defender close enough to him. And he's got a really easy finish. And again, you're sat there and the wind is well and truly out of Arsenal's sails by this. It's just poor defending. And again, most of Chelsea's goals have come from pressing high up and winning the ball off Arsenal. The midfield lack control, Lacazette, Torreira, and Ozil, just there was no control there. They weren't close to each other. There was no sort of out ball being at their back. How are you going to have a team that can play from the back if they haven't got options to pass? How are you going to let a guy who is inexperienced as Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who no one really knows what his good position is, he's just sort of fallen into this right wing back slot because Hector Bellerin's been injured and there's been no one else that we can trust or who has put a performance close enough to him, and you're not giving him help. This formation, like John has said, doesn't sort some other players. They're not doing their job properly. And when you've got, you basically end up with a midfield two in the wing backs, and then you've got Ozil, fuck knows what Ozil's doing, wherever he is, off playing Fortnite, off playing Ring Around the Roses, whatever he's doing, he isn't playing football, he isn't showing for people. You've got Aubameyang and Lacazette who seem to be drifting out wide to try and stretch the defence. But like you mentioned earlier in the analysis of the first half, one of them's picking out wide, and then Lacazette or Aubameyang, depending who's got the ball, is the only one else in the box. There's no dynamism in this midfield, and it's frustrating. They're not sharing for each other, they're not working for each other. And it was just too easy for Chelsea, like they did in this scenario, like they did in the other goal they got, and probably in lead up to the penalty as well that they got. They picked the ball off our players in our half because they haven't got options and no one's working for each other. And it's just too easy. And at 2-0, you start to think, fuck, here we go. Another spineless Arsenal performance. A couple of goals have gone in. Our heads are dropped and we're not working for each other and we're not defending properly. And it was just same old, really.
No, absolutely. John, your thoughts on it, mate?
Again, it's frustrating. All the build-up play and everything is great, and yes, there should be a tackle on Kovacic before he manages to lay the ball off to Hazard. And sometimes you can just go, look, it's a brilliant run and it's really good strength, and you give it to the player. But the fact that absolutely no one is on Pedro is the big issue. Like, no one's picking him up, and he's just there in acres of space for Hazard to pick out, and that's criminal. And you can't do that against players like that. And you know, fucking Robbie Savage on BT Sport. Oh, it's a great finish. Fuck off, Savage. It's not. He completely scuffed it. He put it in the bottom corner, fair enough. But he scuffed the ball. He mishit it. Fucking great finisher, twat. fucking winds me up, honestly. You wouldn't know a football guy. Oh, Bellend. I know you like him, Jace, but...
I only like him because he's Welsh.
Oh, no, you've got to. But no, that's the problem, is that no one's picking him up. And again, it becomes that thing of, is the midfield screening properly? Does everyone know their job? Who's supposed to be picking up Pedro in that situation? Is it midfielder's job? Is it a wing-back's job to track him all the way inside like that? Is he supposed to pass him on to one of the three centre-backs? I'm not sure the players know, you know, which one of them is supposed to be getting him there. And it's, you know, if you give someone like Hazard, he just can look up in the box and go, oh, look, there's my mate over there. I just pass it across to him. Because let's be honest, Pedro hadn't really done a lot in the game. He'd fallen out a lot. He slapped the floor. He got booked for it, for punching the floor, and started mouthing off at the ref. Good Italian referee, taking no shit there. But yeah, he'd done nothing. And then he pops up and we gift him a goal. We gifted them that goal.
Talking of gifting goals, not long afterwards. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah, that one really gutted me, because the moment that happened, I was like, oh, you've given him that because Giroud's bought it. Don't get me wrong, it's a penalty, but it's a penalty because it's a stupid decision by Maitland-Niles.
Yeah.
Right, all this game, I thought Giroud was good for Chelsea, but there was a couple of times when he got shots and stuff and the ball went across for him, you could see it was, oh, that's Arsenal Giroud, because he's a step off the pace, or he's not anticipating the fact that someone who's 4 yards from him and he's standing in wide open space is going to pass him the ball. Because Giroud apparently is still, love the guy and everything, he's great, and he could score ridiculously high quality goals, but he can also just be completely gormless and unaware of what's going on around him. Because the amount of times he was like, oh, hang on, if I step forward here, I can have a shot. And in this case, I don't think he's ever getting that ball, because I think he's you know, he's on the back foot. I don't think he's even getting it. It's just the fact he goes, oh, it's coming into me. Oh, I feel some contact. If I put my leg across, there you go, I can buy this one. Thank you very much. And Maitland-Niles knows what he's done. And it was gutting, because I thought he had a good game other than that, Maitland-Niles. I thought he did decent. You know, he's up against one of the best players from our league in Hazard. I know some people don't rate him. I've got no idea why. You know, why are Real Madrid buying him? They must be mugs. Yeah, of course. You know, and he had a good game up until that point. He made some really good tackles in the box as well. But that was just, yeah, just stupid. Always going to get it. You knew they were going to score from it. I just feel gutted for him, because you could see that really, that crushed him.
Yeah, I felt for the boy. I felt for him. He's, you know, he worked hard, and he was the best out of a bad bunch.
Yeah,
of the outfield players at that point for me. But it's just heartbreaking. We then get a glimmer of hope. It will be with a quite a beautiful volley to make it 3-1. Talk to me about something positive.
Yeah, let's talk about something nice. That'll be good. Yeah, brilliant take from Iwobi, and it's something that we've not really seen him do much of this season. Score many goals, and to score a goal of that technique was just quality. Yeah, it's a bit of a, I think it was like a scuff shot, wasn't it, from Aubameyang, and then the Chelsea player tried to nod it clear, and it just fell down beautifully for him to volley into the top left corner. And it was great strike, and it gave me a glimmer of hope. But that was soon to be destroyed, and I was going to sleep back into darkness. But I felt the game needed a Wobi, and if anything from this season, if there are positives from this season that we can take, I think a Wobi has grown as a player and has improved as a player so much so, if you'd asked me this time last season, if we were in the Europa League final and we were trailing, I wouldn't be, well, Wobi needs to come on. I mean, I'd be like, why would you bring my Wobi on? But this season, there's been times when I felt this midfield needs a bit of a Wobi, someone who can dribble at players. And just before he got his goal, he dribbled past a couple of players, he created stuff, and he was doing something the midfield, and Mesut Ozil in particular, had lacked all game. He was creating a link, he was getting spaces, and he was creating chances, and he done well for his goal as well. So, like, fair play to Iwobi. If there are people out here from the game, from the Arsenal players, that can sort of head to hold their head up high and say they tried, and they tried the best, I think Iwobi, from the minutes that he had, definitely did that.
No, in all fairness, he made a difference, and it was nice to see, because I think he's blown hot and cold this season. When the chips are down, you could see his grit and his determination, and all credit to him. John,
no way, we sorry. I know he's had loads of stick, and I've given him stick when he's been, you know, poor this season. But the one thing he's never shy of, he always tries. He never gives up, and his attitude towards football. And the way he puts himself out on the pitch, I wish some of our other players did that.
And it's like, something.
And our senior players. And how basic and simple is it? Come on a pitch, okay, look, it's easier to say that when you're coming on as a sub and it's in a game where you're losing. But he always does it. He gets the ball and just runs at people. It's not football isn't complicated. Get the ball, go forwards, run into the space. Attack the man, make them make a mistake, you know, try and get it into the box and shoot forward. It's not a complicated thing. What happened tonight, you saw two young kids, all right, Iwobi's 23, still very young for a footballer, but you saw the other young one, who I'm sure we'll get to. Everything they did was positive. Where you've got some very senior pros who've won all sorts of things, apparently couldn't give a fuck.
No, they're hiding, aren't they? They're fucking hiding, to be fair, okay? And it's disgraceful. The bravery, I look at Iwobi and I think you've got to work on your final ball and decision making, but you can't have a pop at his bravery on the ball. You just can't. And I think that's all credit to him, but you know, he's got to improve the other aspects of his game.
Yeah, of course. There's no denying he's got improvement and areas to improve in. But people say Iwobi's not good enough.
I'm not being funny. I've got a fucking rant here now. You've got your two centre arm walking around like a fucking crack whore and a guy who doesn't know what country he's in. Okay? You've got your two fucking midfielders, okay, who just don't know what they're doing in the system, okay? They don't know when, apparently, earlier on, I'm being told Torreira's their best DM in the league. Is he fuck? Is he fuck? Okay? And then everybody's having a go to Wobi on the AMN. You've got senior players in that side, okay, who tonight, Mesut Ozil's our highest paid player, and he just looked like he couldn't give a fuck. He looked like he couldn't give a fuck, okay? Now, at the end of the fucking day, okay, right, oh, there's simple truths to football, okay? You know, ball beats the man, okay? You know what I mean? No substitute for pace, and be brave on the ball. Be fucking brave on the ball. And too many of our players tonight were at their fucking shit houses. I'm watching Socrates lummox about, oh, I give a fist pump. Oh, he's had a great game. He's fucking bang average. He's a decent pro, but don't get me wrong. We've let in 51 fucking league goals. Okay? Don't tell me he's any fucking good. And Koscielny, whenever there's a big game, you know, he manages to stuff it up. So, you know, at the end of the day, okay, if we're going to have a go at AMN, if you're going to have a go at Iwobi, at least put the guys who should be in the firing line ahead of them. Because I tell you one thing, Mesut Ozil, his performances this season have been a fucking embarrassment. Absolute fucking embarrassment. Okay? Our midfield, well, I'm not being funny, no Rambo, no fucking party, obviously. You know, they can't get around. Guendouzi comes on in the fucking dying moment of a European Cup final and starts falling about. Fuck me, Blue.
And I'm by no means saying that Iwobi is the answer and he's going to take us to Champions League and help us challenge for titles.
Nobody's saying he's the greatest player, though, haven't we? We're not saying he's the greatest world leader.
He's a good player. I hope that at some point the club gets to the position where he is a squad player. You know, unless he continues to improve. And people saying, oh, he's only got 3 Premier League goals. Look at his stats for the season. His goals and assists has gone up every single year. So he's improving. Is it improving at the rate everyone would like? Probably not. No. I don't know what you want from the kid. You know.
Leave it there.
It really winds me up. You know.
I know. The Hazard goal on turnover ball again. Talk to me, John. Talk to me.
Where are we at now? Is this 4? This is 4, isn't it?
It's the Aubameyang turnover one.
I don't even want to... this game had 2 possible... You know, there was 2 things that was going to happen. It was going to be Danny Welbeck's amazing farewell. You know, it was going to come on in the last minute. It'd be 0-0 end-to-end stuff, you know. I thought maybe we'd get more of the first half, like the first half, the second half would be the same, where both teams, like, bit of possession, taking it in turns sort of to control and dominate the game, and then Welbeck could come on 5 minutes, bang, gets a goal. Or it was going to be, you know what, Hazard, because he talks to himself, he speaks about himself in the third person, because he's that cool. you know what, Eden, let's put on a show tonight, why not? Just fucking... And when he wanted to, he could destroy us and our defence whenever he felt like it. But we made it so easy for him. We made it unbelievably easy. And conceding the goals in the speed that we conceded and went to 3-0, I know we got the goal back, but the speed we went to 3-0, it was, you could see the players physically drop. You know, and then Chelsea just went, oh, this is easy. This is great. Arsenal got to come out now. We've got loads of space to run into. And look, Hazard's a great player, had a great game. I'm so fucking glad he's going to Real Madrid. I can't believe it. It's great. Because he can't torment us anymore because we're not in the fucking Champions League next season. So we have at least a year of outplaying against him.
That's crazy, isn't it? You see Joe Willock come on for Mesut Ozil. In 10 minutes, Joe Willock had more of an influence on the game than Mesut Ozil had in 80.
Yes, thank fuck. I get to talk about another positive thing. Another positive thing from this game is Joe Willock. Like you said, Mesut Ozil did fuck all game. He was invisible and I don't know about anyone else. I know for you, Jason, you've had it up to him. I've had enough of him. He, no matter what you say, no matter what all these little fucking lover boys like to go, oh yeah, he brings this. Look at all his stats. He's such a good player. Emery's not playing in his right position. Blah, 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 blah. When you look at the most expensive player at Chelsea, he's basically turning it on and scoring goals and helping them win the Europa League final. Yeah, he's going to fuck off. But the reason he's going to fuck off is because he's a good player and people actually want to buy him. Our most expensive player in our squad is doing fuck all and no one wants to buy him because they don't want to pay his ridiculous wages because he's not worth them. He doesn't play well enough. And when a young 19-year-old and Joe Willock can come on and do more in the first couple of minutes that he plays than Mesut Ozil done all game, you need to start looking at Mesut Ozil and start asking the question, does he need to be at this club anymore? Does he really want to be here? Because he's not playing like it. The only reason he's going to stick around is to collect his paycheck and just live out his life playing Fortnite. It's fucking ridiculous. But that's my rant over. Joe Willock, though, the way he played, yes, he missed a chance, but he was running at players. He was creating things. And for a 19-year-old to do that in a European final is just great. And I hope he got his chance against Burnley at the end of the season and he's managed to come on in Europa League final and show that he can do it and play well. Yes, he missed a chance. He's young. He needs to work on his shooting. But he linked up well with Lacazette. He linked up well with Iwobi. He came on and he made an impact. And that's all you can ask for a 19-year-old. And hopefully he can build on this. He can look back and say, I'll come on the Europa League final. Arsenal ended up losing 4-1. But I had a chance. I could have turned the game if we were in it a bit more. But we weren't. I can now build on that. Hopefully, and I am rescind that. And I'll start to get a few more games in the following season and go from there. And I look forward to seeing what he can do. I'm not going to say he's going to be the next best thing at Arsenal, but he's certainly shown something or enough for something to get us a little bit excited about next season anyway.
Hopefully so. John, you see Czech make a save from
Willock. Can I say a little bit on Willock? Sorry. because I would also like to echo Ellis's sentiment on Willock, that I thought, again, young player, brave. Yes, he's come on in a game where realistically we've got no hope, but he does the positive right things. Yes, he should have scored, and he'll know that he should have scored, and he'll be gutted about that. But just simple things. Carry the ball forwards, take a man on, run into space, play the ball forward. Football isn't complicated.
Pass and move, isn't it?
It's not complicated at all. And I tell you what, Unai Emery, I still think you're a prick. I'll be honest. I don't think you're as good a manager as a lot of people think, but I've got a ton of respect for you for basically taking the absolute piss out of Mesut Ozil and going, highest paid player at the club, you're the big superstar, I'm taking you off at the final because you've done fuck all when I'm putting a 19-year-old kid on, and I'm showing you up big time.
And Joe Willock just added that.
and Willock did show him up as well. Even if Willock had come on and done nothing, the fact he came on and did something is even more embarrassing. And the fact that Ozil was bitching and moaning, you could see it on the bench when he got subbed off. He should be fucking looking at himself going, why am I being subbed off? Not complaining about it. Should do something in the fucking game. I cannot stand that bloke, honestly.
Should be fucking ashamed of himself from tonight. Michael Hahnemann smashes in the donation and he says, Chelsea played without pressure with freedom. We played with a weak mentality that stems from Wenger. This goes back 8 weeks, though. We should have had Champions League sewn up already. Mike, apparently this team went on a 22-game unbeaten run and it was a new team. They had a new focus. You know, you've got 5 new players in the summer. It's easy to blame Wenger. That's Unai Emery's team out there tonight. And many, you know, when we do well, if the team does well, he gets the plaudits. But Unai Emery fucked it tonight. And he fucked it at the end of the season. And from a strong position. Sorry, my thoughts on change on Unai. I'd get rid of him. But there you go. Everybody's doing their opinion on that. You know, it's a difficult one. John, you get check saving from Willian. Then you get Lacazette and Willock just fucking up an Alba cross, and it kind of summed the whole game up.
Yeah, the last couple of minutes we had a few decent chances. I don't think it changes the game if we score any of them. It maybe makes the goal line a little, you know, the score line a little less embarrassing, I guess. But to be fair to Chelsea, if it weren't for Cech, who made some really good saves, some very big saves, they could have had 6, maybe 7 tonight. So, yeah, it just summed it up. Even when we got, like, the ball broke for us like it did there, we still couldn't put it away. And to be honest, I thought that it was disappointing because I thought Lacazette and Aubameyang, both of them tonight, neither of them were particularly good, to be honest. I don't think they were particularly effective. Don't get me wrong, they didn't get the ball or not, it's fair to say, but I don't think they did very well.
I think they had chances that they should have scored, though. They didn't get the ball much, but they did have chances that they should have done a lot better.
That's fair comment, but the thing is, they dragged us through the semi-final against Valencia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They dragged us through that, okay? Because there's fuck all coming from midfield.
Nothing. Well, until Iwobi, they'd scored the last 8 goals or something mad like that.
Exactly, they dragged us through. But it was just a really disappointing night. To the both of you now, Petr Cech, I've seen come in for a lot of criticism on Twitter. I don't see Leno making any saves on those goals. What are your thoughts?
I don't see any difference there at all. I don't see how Leno's getting to any of them. I don't think Cech did anything wrong. He didn't put a foot wrong tonight. He made some absolutely cracking saves. It would have been, Chelsea would have scored more goals otherwise. And to be honest, there was 2 occasions where he came out and he dominated in the air in his box for crosses and cleared it and punched it properly when you saw Kepa at the other end for Chelsea completely cock one up right at the start of the game. Look, I'm not having a go at Leno. I think he's had a really good first season. I think he's going to be a very good keeper for him. I'm very happy with him. But I'm not as confident with him on crosses. Anyone blaming Cech tonight is, honestly, I don't normally say it, but you're a fucking idiot.
I just think it's lunacy. I just genuinely think it's lunacy. El, your thoughts, mate?
I'll be completely honest with you. I've been saying it, that I think Leno is our best keeper and should have started this game. But we all knew Cech was going to start it anyway. But again, completely agree with what John said. We haven't lost that game because of Cech. There is areas that Cech is better than Leno at. And he's made some cracking saves there. Would Leonard have made those saves? Would we potentially, if Leonard was in goal, be more down? Who knows? But generally, you cannot blame Cech for that. He's played a blinder. He just hasn't got the right defence in front of him. You stick him in that Chelsea goal, and they win that. So they still win it, don't they? He's not going to concede any goals the other end because we didn't do enough. It just depends on what you've got in front of you. And unfortunately for Cech, the team that he's been in for the last four seasons, I don't know, the defence and the midfield in front of him, it has not been as good as what he's been used to when he was at Chelsea. So you can't blame him. I would have preferred Leno to start. I prefer our best keeper to start every game, but it's definitely not Cech's fault, and he's not at fault for that loss. It's just, we were shit as a team and we lose as a team.
Yeah, fair comment. Marcus Hodges smashes in the donation and he says, thanks again, guys, for everything you've done this season. Time for Arsenal to cut the fat and promote the young guys. They want it more. Marcus, you're far too kind, mate. It's been our pleasure. It's a bit tough on nights like this having to do this crap, but you know what? I feel better after it, and the chat box is amazing. Other than the fact, I've only got 122 likes. Really? 122 likes. You know, look, I've given you a target, people, okay? If you can't hit that target, okay, there's something wrong. I only need 28 more likes for the 150, and I'm happy. But no. You're winding me up, Banty. You're just winding me up. You're doing it for shits and giggles. Either that, or you're just irresponsible. So let's get going. Let's fucking hit 150, or there will be trouble. I will be writing to your parents, each and every one of them, personally. Tappy fucking tappy, let's get going. The next big one in the room is Mesut Ozil, John. I thought tonight summed up his season. I really do. I think, you know, this guy, he has undoubted talent. I love him as a footballer. I absolutely adore watching him dominate the ball. The Leicester performance this season was a thing of beauty. It was a thing to behold. He was just magnificent on the ball, and it was a pleasure to watch. Is it just down to him that this performance, or is it down to the fact that Emery doesn't know understand how to get the best out of him?
On the performance on the night, I'd say it's the player. Look, he's basically, Emery said to him, you're playing number 10. We're playing, you know, we're giving you the room to operate in. You've got two strikers ahead of you. You can have wing backs bombing on. So you've got some width to hit as well. We're going to get the ball. Xhaka and Torreira are going to sit. They're going to give you the ball. They're going to give you a platform to build off. Just find those pockets of space for yourself and then play the pass. He didn't do it tonight. Is it always his fault? No, of course not. You know, the team, you know, and again, tonight's performance isn't all down to Ozil. I'm not by any means saying that. But if you want to be the superstar at a club and if you want to earn the money he's earning, you have to put the performances in. You can't sit there, you know, moaning that you've been subbed off for a 19-year-old. You can't, you know, not turn up for away games and do all these sorts of things. If you don't put the performances in the big games, this is what you're paid for. This is why you're the face of the club, essentially. Because he is, you know.
Yeah.
I know people talk about Aubameyang and Lacazette more, but Ozil is the big pull. That's the big name up there. And he's just not doing it. Ellis said it earlier, you know, you look at Chelsea and everyone looks at Hazard. Now, not comparing them as players because they're very different in their styles and what they do and everything on the ball. And obviously, Hazard's going to score more goals than Mesut Ozil is. But one puts in their performance and the other one doesn't. Why is one turning up for big games and the other one isn't? And it's got to the point ridiculous. Look, I'm not blaming Mesut Ozil for taking the money he's got. If I was him, I'd be taking that money as well. Be like, yep, thank you very much. You know, you always try and take as much money as you can as you're a footballer. If that's what someone's willing to pay you, brilliant. That's fantastic. But you've got to show some return for that. Maybe a club who are in a better position with better players, you know, if he's at a Real Madrid or a Barcelona or wherever, you know, Bayern Munich, he might do better because he's got a better squad around him and he's given more freedom and he's going to have more time on the ball and they're going to have possession all the time. Defensively, it's solid behind him, so people aren't going to concentrate on much. He's going to have better forwards in front of him, maybe. maybe he's one of those weird players who is too good to be in a not good enough team. But if that's the case, then the club shouldn't have given him the money he's on, and they have to try and move him on, because to be perfectly honest, he's just not doing it. But the problem is the club have fucked themselves with the wages they've given him, because who's going to sign him?
Yeah, absolutely.
What and again, just really want to make it clear, I'm not saying that the loss tonight is Ozil's fault, like solely on him. Of course it's not. It's the whole team. And there's, like I said, you know, there is, I would say, Maitland-Niles penalty notwithstanding, obviously. Joe Willock, I thought, was great when he came on, very positive. Iwobi, I thought, was great. And Cech. Other than that, I don't think anyone else really had a particularly good game. Which didn't turn up tonight. And Mesut Ozil was one of them. But if you'll give it, especially in the way that we set up tonight, the formation we played, with two strikers up front, Emery's given him every opportunity to go out and do something tonight, and he hasn't done it.
Agreed. Ellis, one of the arguments that comes along with Mesut is, oh, but with shirt sales, he pays for himself. I don't want our star player to pay for himself. I want him to fucking deliver on the park. Would you, I mean, look, if we get rid of him, it's going to be really difficult and we're going to have to take a massive financial hit. Would you get rid of him or would you keep him?
I'd get rid of him. If we could get rid of him, I'd get rid of him. I'd love Arsenal to sit there and just go, just give him an ultimatum. If he stays this summer and we can't get rid of him, just say, look, your performances are not good enough. And if they don't improve by January, then we'll pay off the rest of your contract. You're not playing for us anymore. Because I know it's never going to happen. But I'd love it to. It frustrates me, and it's just the way football is, and it's probably never going to change. In fact, it's probably going to get worse. It seems to be getting worse. Eden Hazard's probably going to go to Real Madrid for 100 million or 100 plus million, and he's only got 1 year left in his contract. It's happened with Sanchez at Man United. It's happening with Gareth Bale at Real Madrid. It's just going to get worse. The money in football is apparent. It's disgusting, and it's just going to keep going until the bubble eventually bursts. But, yeah. I don't think I'm going to go. As for the argument with the shirt sales things, as a fan, as any Arsenal fan, do you, any of us give a monkey that our best player sells a lot of shirts? No. We want our best players to perform on the pitch. We want our best players to help us win things. Mesut Ozil is not helping us win things. And again, echo what John says. None of us are blaming Mesut Ozil for this loss. He is not the sole reason we have lost this game. He's just an incredibly frustrating player, because he doesn't perform enough on the pitch for what he's getting from his wage. And I'd rather you see that wage used in a better way, more worthwhile way, spread across players that want to play for the shirt. I saw a video on YouTube the other day on Twitter, someone shared it, of Mesut Ozil playing at Real Madrid. And he's a shadow of that player now. He does not play. He was running around. He was trying things. He was running at players. He doesn't seem like he's in it anymore. And if he's not in it and doesn't want to play for Arsenal anymore, then fuck off. See you later.
Fair enough. I've seen some mentions in the chat box of David Dean. Okay, brought in Stan Kroenke and then followed it by bringing in Usmanov. And he played off both sides. The only person to blame for David Dean leaving this club is David Dean. End of story. There's nobody else to blame at the club. It's down to him. He's the one, he's made a packet out of this club. Okay, deservedly so for his efforts over the years. I love David Dean, but he's the one who caused his own downfall. So make no bones about that. Benoit Messier smashes in with a donation. Benoit, you're an absolute rock star. We do appreciate it. Thank you ever so much. He's got nothing to say. He just smashes in the donation. There's been a lot of people saying thanks for the efforts this season, guys. We'll make a bit of an announcement on the summer at the end of the show. There are some shows I've got planned to come up. I just need to organise some stuff. We're going to take a couple of weeks break. But we've got some more stuff coming up, obviously. But we are taking a break this summer. Guys, earlier on this week or last week or whatever it was, I can't fucking remember. You saw the Vinay and Raul double team. Show the interview on Arsenal player John. Oh, first of all, Jim Howson smashes in the donation and says, thanks for all the shows to see your lads. Emery out. Kind of agree with you, Jim. I kind of agree with you. Cheers, Jim. You're top man and you always support us. Thank you. What were your thoughts on that video? Because, by the way, Raul San Levy looks like my dead grandfather. He really does. He genuinely does, okay? He looks like my ducky. And then I looked at it, I thought, shit, he's back from the dead. What's going on here?
I thought he was very polished, very good PR. I thought Raul needed to clear his throat the entire time. Vinay came across really well. Honestly, most of it I just thought was the typical, you know, we're putting out all the positive good stuff. The only thing I found remotely interesting was the fact that they pointedly said when a player gets to 2 years left on his contract, the club has to make a decision on whether they are going to re-sign the player or sell them, unless there is a player who's coming towards the end of their career. They made a very, very clear point about that, which is something we've been crying out for. Whether they do it or not, that's a different matter. But the fact they've actually come out and said it makes me at least hope, you know.
They've made that point before, though, haven't they? They have made that
point. I don't think in those exact words. They've never said it like that clearly. They've sort of said, yeah, we're going to try and, you know, sort out some of the contract problems we've had in the past. The fact that come out and said very clearly to the point of, if a player's got 2 years left, we make a decision whether they re-signed or they're sold, one or the other. It was very, like, you know, open shut case on that. They've got to do that. Other than that, I didn't really think a lot of it. We'll see what they do. You know, you can't judge them on one summer. I think that's fair to say. It is a long-term thing. We all knew it was going to be long-term. Even if Arsene stayed and things changed with him in charge, it was always going to be long-term. Because you can't just jump from being out of the Champions League straight back into it. It's a very difficult thing to do. I think I said a while ago, I could see us for a couple of years doing sort of what Liverpool did when they were in the Europa League for a few years running, and they slowly had to build themselves back up. And I think that's what we're in for.
Okay. Benoit Messier has just smashed in another donation because he forgot to ask his question. Benoit, you didn't need to donate again, mate. Just get our attention. We will ask the question, though, and we'll ask it at the end of the show, pal. Thank you very much. Ellis, your opinion on it, because I just thought it was corporate media stakeholder bollocks. I didn't even find a bit that John found interesting. I just thought it was them trying to defend the season. And the collapse at the end of it. I think Vina is very smooth. I think, you know, there's a reason he's there. Raul is very difficult for him in a second language in that. But, you know, as John says, they've got to be given time, haven't they?
They have. And fair play to Raul for talking as long as he could, just like considering how bad his voice sounded. Like, fucking hell. He smokes a lot of cigarettes. I agree with you, Jason. It was typical sort of PR bullshit. They didn't have to do it, but it's a lot of what we've had in the past. Gazidis was a good talker as well. He talked the talk, but Arsenal couldn't really walk his talk. And we've heard before the previous ones when he mentioned that a few seasons ago we could be as big as Bayern Munich. Well, hasn't quite gone that way, has it, Gazidis? It's their job to talk like that, and it's no coincidence that that's probably around the time that they're looking to renew season tickets as well. It just seemed like a slight defence of what had happened at the end of the season, just sort of saying that this is where we are, blah, 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 we can do this, we can do that. And a lot of the time they tried to spin it on, we're Arsenal, we're gentlemen's of a football club, we're a bit better than everyone else, blah blah blah, but realistically we're not. They failed with the Ramsey situation. I think they've done poorly there, but it is their first season. I think you can't blame them for Mesut Ozil's contract. I think that was sort of sorted before any of those two were in place. But the only thing I can really judge him on is like the Ramsey situation, which was poor, and what we're in now. But you got to give him a little bit more time. It's a very different change in structure at this club, like you said. So we'll have to wait and see whether Arsenal can perform from what they've said. I don't know.
It's very difficult, isn't it? I mean, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I keep on hearing somebody say, oh, this is an Emery signing, or that's a Stats DNA signing, or that's an Ivan signing, or that's an Arsene signing. when it was going right, it was the person they liked. When it was going wrong, it was the person they didn't like whose fault it was. And, it's just difficult for these guys. I mean, Suarez wasn't great, let's be fair.
That's another point, Suarez, yeah.
You know, but, you know, they've got a long-term plan in place. I didn't particularly like the way the Mislintat situation came up, but they're going to move forward and hopefully they succeed and hopefully they take the club forward. But, I saw one of my most hated Twitter accounts. I don't follow this guy, but he's retweeted onto my timeline. I'm not going to mention names, but he came up with, oh, brutally honest and refreshing interview. And I just thought, you're a fucking mug. You know, and later on that week, he was mugged off by Petr Cech. So that I really enjoyed that. But let's get on to questions. We got a load of questions to get through. We're going to get through all these, then we're going to sign off, okay? Guys, we're going to do it one at a time. So here we go. John, you first. Piyush Kapoor asks, no Mustafi, and we still conceded 4 goals. This shows there's a mental problem with players which lead to total collapse. Not sure what else Emery could do to change things.
Mustafi didn't play and it didn't make any difference. We still defended badly. There were still individual errors. We said about Koscielny. Socrates, I thought, was okay, but got pulled out of position a few times. I think everyone sees the issue with Monreal in that he can be got in behind very easily. We know Kolasinac can't defend, to be honest. You know, that's why we can't really play with him in a back four, although we did for part of the game. I think it's a personnel issue. I do think we need better defenders, that's for sure. I don't think they're as good as everyone thinks they are, or some people think they are anyway. But two, it is, you've got to be coached better. And I think there's been periods this season where the defence has looked quite good and has played well.
51 league goals conceded.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. There are very, very few times it's looked good, but there have been the odd little spark of, you know, oh, they've played well and it's been against a team who have also played well, rather than they've played well and it's against some mugs who've done nothing, you know. So you've got to coach them better, but also you need to sort out this problem between the midfield and the defence. It's still not fixed. There is no screen from our midfield whatsoever.
But is that down to athleticism in the midfield? Okay.
Well, if the midfielder you're picking isn't athletic enough to do the job you want the midfield to do, you either need to change your system so it suits that player because you want him in the team, or you don't pick that player anymore. It's not fucking rocket science, is it?
I know.
You know, all right, if you can't do either of those things, then fair enough, you're just fucked. You know, I'm buggered until I get to a transfer window. Oh, it's January. You can't have anyone who you can have that geezer you used to know at that other club. You can only have him on loan, though, because we've heard he might be an injury risk. Turns out he can't even fucking play. So that's it, basically. Does that excuse Mustafi of some of the horrendous mistakes he's made this season?
Oh, no. He hasn't played tonight again.
No, it doesn't.
Like I said, when you watch...
He's not the only one who's made horrific mistakes this season.
He hasn't cost us a semi-final, 2 finals.
No.
You know what I mean?
He's made me laugh more than other defenders. That's, to be fair, that's true.
It's one of those, you know, like I said... Socrates is wandering on like a crack hole. Koscielny doesn't know what fucking country he's in, okay? You know? And I'm just looking at this pair of clowns thinking, we are shit.
Sorry, that was supposed to be a briefer answer than it was. Because
yeah, you asked so many questions. I know.
Bring back Aboué.
Hey!
He's funnier than Mustafi, and he's probably a little bit better than some of our defenders.
Absolutely.
Maybe not, actually.
Guna 1982 asks Al, is it me or did Cech only start playing when the game was over? Was half his mind on his new job at Chelsea? Ooh.
Oh, mate, I completely disagree with that question/potential statement. He made a couple of good saves when we were 0-0 and kept us in the game, especially sort of the end of the first half. I think he was a proper professional. He did his job and I don't think he had any thoughts about going where he was going. In fairness, if I was him or if I was a professional football player, I'd want my last professional game to not end 4-1 if I was in goal. So I completely disagree with that question. Sorry, mate.
I think it's one of those people, you know, we've got to remember some of the questions are asked when people are angry and stuff like that. It doesn't make anybody wrong or whatever. It's just what you're expressing at that moment in time, you know? It's just the way it is. I'm not sure what's the next question. I'll take this one. How on earth are we going to replace Ramsey, rebuild the defence and replace Cech for 40 million quid? Simple answer, we're not. Forget it. It's not happening. They're going to go the money ball route, try to get value to young players. And I think next season we're in for an absolute effing humping. It's as simple as that. I have no faith.
We get a nice kit.
I don't like the yellow one.
Oh, don't start him on the fucking kit, for fuck's sake.
The red kit's nice. That's all that matters, mate.
I don't like the collar on the red kit.
Oh, shut up.
Sorry. John, Guna 1982 again asks, who do you think we can realistically sign now we aren't in the Champions League?
It depends on how much money we have and how much money we have to offer them, basically. The one advantage of the fact that we're, despite not being in the Champions League next season, because we're in the Premier League, we will generally be able to pay more than, you know, 90% of clubs in Europe, just because we're in the Premier League and we can pay more money. We are not going to be able to get the top shelf players, you know, that we might fancifully think we could be looking at. I mean, as for names, I've got no idea, but we'll still be able to get good players. It's just, it is seriously just dependent on how much we can give them. Because if you say to a player who's currently playing in Europe, even if they're in Champions League, if they're at a club that's not realistically going to win the Champions League, you know, so that narrows it down to about three clubs that they can actually be at. If they're not one of those, then you just say, do you want to come sign for us? We'll give you more money. Most players will go, oh, English football, yeah, get to play in the best league in the world, or allegedly the best league in the world, and earn more money. Great, I'm there.
Okay. L. Dom Lloyd asks, how good did Iwobi look drifting in more into the more central role? Is there any chance we'll see more of that next season?
I thought he played very well, but again, like we said, it wasn't very hard considering the performance that he'd had from some of the other players. There is certainly an opportunity for him to play in that role. There's a lot of games. We'll be playing a lot of games because we'll be back in Europa League next season. and we'll have cup games as well. So yeah, I think we could see it. And potentially, again, who knows what our transfer business is going to be like. If we get someone else wider, we might get a chance to play him through the middle more centrally, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Take the next one. Unique 79 asks, was Paul Merson right all along and did we miss Ramsey tonight? And where do we go from here? Well, yeah, he was right, unfortunately. We saw in the last time we played Chelsea, and funny enough, Josh Dawe mentioned it in the group before the game, that Ramsey was going to do a job on Jorginho.
Whoa, let's not praise Josh. That was me.
No. Josh said it before you did. No, whoa.
He's got to pressure Jorginho because
I'm not being funny. I do not like praising Josh Dawe at all.
I was trying to give you an out, Jace. I was trying to give you an out and you just walked past it.
I can't take the out of it, mate. I can't. I've got to give him credit. But again, we saw Jorginho have a free role today. He'd start the attacks. He'd start getting that ball moving. He'd start getting it going in a positive light and that cost us. We were always going to miss a player of Rambo's ability in a game like this. And that's the sad truth of the matter. People can have their own perspective, but facts are facts. Two cup winning goals, you know, big performances in big games this season. They tell a story. Where do we go from here? Fuck knows. Because you can free up as much wages as you want. If you're not going to invest the money in transfers to get big name players in, If we go down a kid's route next season, you need a spine to the side. We haven't even got a spine now. We're letting your most effective performer go for nothing. You've got your highest paid player who's hiding on the park. You've got your captain who's captain calamity when it comes to a big game. You've got apparently your best defender. And when anybody mentions somebody is our best defender, that's like saying who's got the best type of AIDS. It's that shit, okay?
For fuck's sake.
It really fucking is, okay?
Just compare our defence to AIDS.
51 league goals, mate. Collapse at the end of the season.
Fuck me.
I'm annoyed, okay? Right, so, and where are you going to get the spine for next season? I don't see it. And to be quite frank, you know, Unai can be as tactically flexible as he fucking wants. If he can't get plan A right, you've got Buckley's chance of him getting fucking plan C right. So that ain't going to fucking work either. If we finish top, outside the top six next season, that's what I think we're going to finish. I just don't see us doing anything. And I know I'm pissed off at the moment, but that's the way it is. Sorry, rant over. John, Petito 100 and his magnificent donation says, does this game justify Emery's decision to drop Ozil in the beginning of the season and in big games? Seeing Ozil walk around today was heartbreaking.
Yes, it does. I mean, it's as simple as that. The annoying thing is that he drops him, brings it back, nothing changes, so he drops him again. Eventually brings him back in, Ozil starts to perform. And then you're like, this is the Ozil we want. But after a couple of games, that performance just disappears. And it's just not there anymore. I think he was justified in it. And to be perfectly honest, he's the manager. No player is bigger than the manager. It's the manager's decision. His decision is final. If it's right or wrong, you can judge it on that. Fair enough afterwards. But, you know, I think he got it spot on at the start of the season. And unfortunately, Ozil didn't bring those performances that we saw for a very small part of the season into tonight's game.
Okay, fine. Marble Halls TV asks, has Emery worsened his hand? Has he only got a few months to shape the defence and mentality of this team?
It's a difficult one. If you're going to review the season, I think like John alluded to, there's been minor improvements, but realistically, we're still where we are when he joined us. I think what makes it worse is that we're in such a good position. The top four spot was ours to lose, and we threw it away. And this final didn't really do him any favours either. I think personally, for me, he needs another window. He's fucked himself because we're not in the Champions League, so the window is going to be even more difficult. And we are going to, like you say, have to go through the more savvy route of buying players who aren't too expensive, but we think can improve our squad. Whatever you think of the man, he needs to really show bigger signs of improvement in this squad. Otherwise, he's going to give the guys up top a decision to make on whether they want him to continue and see out his contract and or even extend it.
Going to be interesting, isn't it? Going to be really interesting. And Thomas from Norway asks, I'll take this one. Why would any top player come to the Arsenal? Thomas, we're not in the market for top players. We're just not in the market for top players. The club haven't got, whether they have or haven't got the money to spend, you know, I don't know what the club's finances are. But, you know, they're not going to use the preserves. I just don't see it. You know, we bought Aubameyang, we bought Lacazette in recent years. But we're not in the market for top players. It's as simple as that. We're looking for value. You know, we're shopping at fucking Lidl's, not Waitrose. That's all I got to say.
Nothing wrong with shopping at Lidl's. You get some right bargains there, mate.
Yeah, no, I got no problem with it, mate. But, you know, when people are talking 70 million quid for Koulibaly or something like that, they're having a giraffe.
We've proven, you know, that you can buy players for less money that are very good, that can improve your squad.
If you improve the base level of the squad, okay, the squad improves, performances improves, etc. I don't have a problem with a self-sufficient way of doing things. I just don't see any evidence of it to date. You know, I like the Guendouzi signing, but I think he needs somebody to take him to one side and say, right,
That's a longer term signing. You see, we got Rob Holding for $2 million. That looks like an absolute bargain considering what we paid. You know, all that, those kind of signings, they're all great. You know,
Yeah, no, there's no problem with that. But, you know, when you're asking why would any top player come here, we ain't in the market for them. We ain't. It's as simple as that. John, Michael Hahnemann says, Kronk needs to go as well. First thing that the club needs to change. Sorry, I do apologise. I can't read anymore.
not enough vowels in it for the Welsh.
It's consonants of the thing, okay? And Michael Hahnemann says, Kronk needs to go as well. First thing that needs to change our club, thoughts?
I'm not sure it's the first thing that needs to change at the club. Look, I'm not Kroenke's biggest fan by any means, but what I would also say is he's only been in 100% control of the club for, one season? It's not even a season yet, realistically. You know, it wasn't all finalised. You've got to give him more time than that. I'm not saying he's going to be the best owner in the world or anything. He's not going to pour his own money in. Fine. But look, some owners don't do that. To be perfectly honest, the way the Premier League are doing FFP now is very difficult to do that anyway, unless you're extremely lucky like Man City and you happen to, you know, be owned by a country that, you know, your owner's cousin is the king of the whatever and owns this company, can be your sponsor, and you can get around getting 400 million into club or whatever bollocks it is they've done. We're not in that position. Kroenke can't do that. So I'd give him time. I hope he works out. Look, his other sporting franchises at the moment in America are actually doing pretty well, other than the football team, I think. You know, the Rams got to the Super Bowl. I think his baseball team was in the playoffs. I don't know if they still are. I don't follow baseball. I think his basketball team's doing all right. You know, he's not an idiot. He's in business to make money, which means if his clubs do better, they make more money and he can make more money commercially. So for him, Arsenal being successful, that's a good thing. That's only a good thing. So I hope in the fact that now he's got 100% control of the club, maybe his son comes in and does some positive things, changes up the board a bit, makes it a bit younger or whatever. And we'll wait and see. But it's not the first thing I'd look at the club, no.
Okay. Josh. Oh, sorry, Ellis. Oh, shit. Sorry, El.
How fucking dare you?
That's worse than the bastard.
I'm not translucent. I'm not ginger. How dare you?
Sorry, mate. Sorry, Josh, as well.
That's a compliment for Josh, I'll have you know.
Michael Hardiman also asks, thoughts on how we're going to move forward. What are we going to do to change things? Is it a change of ownership, a change of manager, get rid of loads of players so we have more money to spend? What do you think? How do we move forward?
We're not going to change manager. That's not going to happen. I think he'll still be here next season. We do need to sell some players. We need to get rid of a lot of deadwood. We need to improve. We've highlighted how we need to improve. We can't. We're not targeting the top players. We're looking for those sort of diamond in the roughs, those bargains, those investments long term that will improve our squad where we're weak. I think we move forward by just taking baby steps. We're not going to be able to massively jump forward. We can't pump a shitload of money into it like some clubs. It has going to be looking at our squad, analysing what went wrong this season and what needs to improve us as a whole and get us to where we want to be. And it's going to, like we said, it's going to have to be savvy. We're going to be savvy with our money. I think it's just a case of we look at our squad, we find our weaknesses and we buy what we can afford and we get rid of players that are potentially on a lot of money. If we can.
Okay. But you've got to replace those players as well, and that's the problem, isn't it?
But the thing is, Mesut Ozil isn't doing much at the moment. Elneny isn't doing much at the moment. Lichtsteiner isn't. You say you've got to replace those players, but I think some of those players you can just promote from the youth side.
Do you know what? That's
personally.
No, that's a good point. Good point. Gunan1982 asks, I'll take this one. Do you think the one positive from this result is that the staff can be under no illusions that we need to invest rather than saying we don't need because look at what we won? I've got to be honest to you, Guna82. I look at the back end of the season and from the position we were in, going into the running and the way we collapsed under that. If this management structure were under any illusions after that, then they need to fucking go now. It would have been nice to have won this to get Champions League qualification for the money for playing the Champions League, because the Europa League is dog shit. It really is. Okay. But yeah, you know, if that run into the end of the season didn't set off alarm bells in this management structure, then they ain't the management team for us. It's as simple as that. You know, it wouldn't have papered over any cracks winning this, but it would have got us into the Champions League and been an achievement. But as it happens, we got well humped on the night. So, you know, there's not much we can say about that. John, draw the Gooner asks, is there a league we should target in the summer with our small transfer budget?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is the feeder league. Hey! Oh, you need the drum roll, Giff. No, I think France is a good league to target because there are very good young players there. And if you go for the right ones, you will get them cheaper. I'm not talking about someone like Nicolas Pepe or whatever because the ridiculous price he's been quoted at. But there are very good players in that league. Germany is a good league as well. I mean, honestly, most of Europe is fine because a lot of the players are going to be cheap. You just can't go for the big superstar name players. It's that simple. But France would be the best one because you can get the youngest players for a very good price compared to elsewhere, I would say. I think you're going to get them at the best rate.
Okay, cool. Ellis, Matthew D'Souza asks, Klopp lost the Europa League final 4-1 in his first season. Does that give us any hope?
No. All hope is lost. You can't compare Klopp to Emery, the two different managers, and Arsenal and Liverpool financially are in two very different places that they were, or Liverpool were then, and we are now. I think we're in a massive turmoil of change at the moment, and there's been mistakes made, and there's a lot more that needs to be fixed at this club than there was at Liverpool.
Okay.
So for me, it doesn't give me any hope, but I'm in a very negative mood. If that gives you hope, then fine. Good. I'm glad.
Fair comment. Benoit Messier, and the question he forgot, and he says, who would you blame for our abysmal defending? The players, Emery or Steve Bould? I think this is the thing with Steve Bould. He's a coach at the club. He's not got the moniker of defensive coach or anything, so we don't actually know what the role is, but ultimately the players and the manager have to take the blame. They get the plaudits when we win and go on an unbeaten run. You don't see everybody lauding Steve Bould when we were on our 22-match unbeaten run, so why should he take the shit when we lose, and we lose badly? I think the problem, you know, the manager is the one who sets the team up. He's the one who picks the players. The players are the one who perform when they cross the white line. There's enough blame to go around. I think Steve Bould gets a rough end of the stick. If he's not for Emery, Emery needs to get rid of him. There's talk that he's out in the summer and Freddie's coming in. And if he feels that's right, that's great, because Unai's job depends on the decisions he makes. So that's the way it is. We got a couple more donations from guys who've already donated. Daryl Kane says, Torreira crying when he comes off shows us the passion. Daryl, I'd rather see the performance than the passion at times, because he was shit tonight. Jonas Stegnenberg says, remember when Arsenal fails, beer is, and there's a hiccup there. So Jonas is on, it's a good man. And one question for all of us to finish this off, guys. I'm going to start with you, John, then to you, Elle. Petito 100 asks, is the club closer to Leicester or Liverpool?
I mean, Leicester, you just look on a map, we're closer to Leicester than we are Liverpool. I think we are, in terms of squad, we're closer to Leicester than we are Liverpool. Yeah, we're nowhere near Liverpool. We must be joking. Nowhere near.
Elf?
Other than geographically, for John's fabulous joke, we're close to Liverpool purely from just the gap between what Liverpool are doing now and us is a lot bigger than what we're doing now compared to Leicester. I mean, Leicester won the Premier League recently. We haven't done that.
Nice, Al. Nice.
Fucking negative end to that. Someone do something happy.
I've got to be honest with you. You know, judging by the way we're looking at the transfer market and the funds to spend, etc., and the fact that we're leaving players go for nothing, and we're overpaying people who do nothing, I think, yeah, we are probably closer to Leicester. But I don't lose all hope. I don't think it's a massive jump to get, you know, on Liverpool's season this year, you know, 97 points and only one game lost. We are way off that. But I think if we're smart and we do things right, we can get there pretty quickly. It, you know, it's 2 to 4 years for that to happen. But it means some very savvy buying and selling and, you know, investing in the right players. And, you know, and you're going to have to trust youth. You really are.
Very quickly, Jace, before you do your wrap up and everything and your quick announcements for the summer, Mark Hanneman chucked in with another donation. Wouldn't normally do this, but wanted to say thank you for the hard work, determination, and desire behind these podcasts, even through the dark times. Thank you very much, Michael. Honestly, it does genuinely cheer us up. And we've also got one from Lossless as well. My first and last donation of the season. I request the money go to buying a box of tissues for Jason to use when crying over the summer at the memory of Ramsey. Good job this season, ABW. Thank you, Lossless. That's much appreciated. And there are not enough tissues in the world for Jason. But I do have one question before you do wrap up, Jace. And it's just a quick yes or no. It'll go back to my gambling joke. Emery gone in the summer, or do you think they'll keep him?
I think they'll keep him. If it was down to me, I'd sack him.
Cool. Ellis?
It's fucking horrible. They'll keep him. They definitely will keep him. If it was down to me, just to disagree with Jason, then I'd keep him as well for one more season. But if it's more of the same, then he's got to go.
I'd sack him. But yeah, I think they'll probably keep him. But if you are interested in placing a bet, this is not an advert. I won't tell you which I won't tell you which bookmaker, but a particular famous bookmaker, who do you think is odds on to be like the favourite to be the next Arsenal manager? Who do you think it is?
Jose Mourinho.
Arteta.
It is Arteta.
Yay!
Then it's Paddy V, and there's a list of over players. Allegri, it's not going to be him. Tommy Tickles, Brendan Rodgers, Carlo Ancelotti, Conte, Pires. I don't know why Pires. Pires is above Luis Enrique, which seems ridiculous to me. Arsene Wenger is 33-1. Now, coming in, yeah, Tony Adams 90-1, Ian Wright 100-1. Coming in at 500-1, Heavy D.
Please gamble responsibly. Definitely don't put it on Heavy D if you are an idiot.
Could you imagine Raul or Vina, you know, getting him? Oh, and this is the tunnel. You can't fit down there. John the Gunner asks Jason's predictions at Wales at the Rugby World Cup. I don't do that, fella, because we can be crap. I'm great. And formerly Noza says Jason will be starting Juve. A Juve chat room next season. No, we're doing a Del Piero Wonderland. That's what we're doing. That's it for tonight, guys. A massive amount of thanks to Jonas Segtenberg, J Rob, Daryl Kane, Unique 79, Richard Morris, International Man of Mystery, Blair Slater, Jackosaurus, Adam Horn, Petito 100, Michael Hahnemann, Marquis Hodges, Benoit Messier, Jim Housen, and Lossless. You guys are always in that chat box. The donations are fabulous, but your support means even more. So thank you all ever so much. You've just been brilliant. To all of you guys in the chat box, apart from Chelsea 4 Wankers 1, you are a prick, mate. You've been superb. Thank you ever so much. It's, you know, you've supported us throughout the season, and I can't tell you how much that means to us. You know, we do this as a bit of fun, and it can get a bit tough at times, but some of the chat boxes have just been magnificent, and we just keep on laughing about it for ages afterwards. So you're all brilliant. give yourself a round of applause because we really, really appreciate your support. Thank you. To those of you who are listening on any other platform, you know, we don't forget you guys either. You know, without you guys, we're just a bunch of pricks talking bollocks. You know?
But if you are listening on a different platform, I just started to get a new tattoo. And look at this, like, gorgeous woman. Look at her. Look. She's amazing. So if you don't come on the YouTube now, you don't get to see that. It's not finished yet, obviously.
Stick to listening on iTunes. No, but seriously, thank you ever so much. It's been an interesting season. It's not been the season we hoped for, but there you go. A massive amount of thanks to the team. The Colonial Cannon, Jason Schrader, the Goonaholic, Dave Faber, Dom, Aussie Dom, Dom Nooski, Josh Daw, the fake Josh Daw, that London guy, Carl. Not only does he screw up London transport, but he turns up and he rocks it here. Danny, the GFP, the button monkey, who without him, none of this happens. The dirty pirate, Chris Carpenter, who knows nothing about football. But fair play to him. I bloody love, I love podcasting with a boy. I absolutely adore it. To Ellis Mel. Ellis, thank you.
Thank you for having me on. And thank you, listeners.
You're not just saving lives, are you? You're not just saving lives, bro.
I also come on here and talk bollocks as well.
Exactly. You're a man.
Triple threat.
Thank you very much. to the magnificent John Welsh. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Jason. And I know from me personally and from all the guys on the pod and from all the listeners, I'm sure I don't need to say this, but they will definitely agree with me. Everyone now in the chat box and everyone who listens on all the other platforms, thank you so much for doing this all this season, organising all the shows, hosting as many as you've done, even when you shouldn't have, and the games that you've had to put up with and putting up with us idiots as well. Yeah, thank you so much and enjoy your summer off.
Thank you, Jason. We love you.
I love you too, guys. it's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. Have I missed anybody?
No, I think you got everyone. We had a few guests, didn't we? Like Cactus Jack.
Cactus Jack, Femster. Yeah. Lana.
Lana. I think that was everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we missed someone.
If we missed somebody, you apologise. Right, so plans for the summer, guys, okay? We are going to do an end of season review, a live special. We're going to try to get a couple of listeners on. Me, myself and a couple of guys and a couple of listeners, okay? So if you're interested in that, DM me on Twitter, okay? And we'll do some sound tests, etc. And we'll see who we can get on. And you need to have a camera. You need to have you'd be lined up for the internet, etc. We'll just get your thoughts on the season and just do a bit of fun end of season roundup. Then come July, there's going to be a weekly transfer special. Okay, as soon as the window opens, we're going to do a weekly transfer special. Obviously, you know I'm going to clue what's going on. But we're just going to talk about our thoughts and just have a bit of fun. And that'll be it. Danny will have other plans for the podcast, but that'll be the live show, right? So that's it for now. We're all taking a break for a couple of weeks. DM me if you want to come on the end of season thing, okay, a special, so we can go from there. At this moment in time, the mental health follow-up is still up. We've had trouble posting it to iTunes, so if you want to give it some support, it's on YouTube. Give it a watch, okay? It's something myself and John, you know, we've been lucky enough to be able to help out, John. And Paul Price, Ed Loud, Jake Core, people like that have been fantastic. Every took part in that. And that's it. So God save the Arsenal.
Come on, you scousers.
God, does that feel a bit, God.
I just pretended I was saying, come on, you Arsenal, and it's fine.
I feel dirty. We're
not sure if Mr. Hollick is doing any cricket-type things, but I tell you what, if you bug him on Twitter about it, because he definitely would like to, and I think Mr. Collins is a big cricket boy as well. So
Raj would be up for that, wouldn't he?
Yeah, Raj would be up for that one. Maybe Fife. I could see Fife being a cricket man. I'm sure he is.
Yeah. Fife's getting married this summer.
Oh, he is, yeah.
Good luck, Fifey. We love you.
one vagina for the rest of your life. Why would you do it? Anyway, that's a good note to end it on.
One vagina, there you go.
Oh my god. This is the levels. Guys, up the Arsenal. Thank you ever so much. We really appreciate you guys. Without you, this is bollocks. John, switch this shit off.